The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
A lot of people I talk to get all freaked out when they hear the word evangelism. They think they have to master this massive amount of apologetic information. They think they have to have a different personality than God gave them. They think that it's just some formidable challenge that they could never rise to. And so often I find that it's the short, rather accessible little steps or walks or deeds that you do. It's not giving long speeches. It's mostly about friendship. It's not backing someone into a corner. It's just kind of pointing to Christ in ways that are natural for you. And I think if more people would do just the small thing that they can do, take a walk here, stretch out an arm here, say a word here, live your faith every day in a humble and kind of genuine way, I think a lot of people would find that they would be touching a lot more lives than they think.
So a couple weeks ago, we started this series called Share. It's kind of being paired with our small group series in our community groups called Just Walk Across the Room. And so throughout the series, we're going to be taking excerpts from that study and showing you like that one there. If you don't know who that is, that's Pastor Bill Hybels, pastor of Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago. And there's a lot for us to learn through this series. I know that for those of us who have grown up in the church, you've probably heard that we are the only Jesus that some people will ever see. There's truth in that, and that God left us on this earth to continue what he started. And now his purpose is to use us to share this faith, share this love with those who do not yet know him. We started off 2 weeks ago, and I just want to recap last week real quick. Do we have that slide showing last week's points? Last week's points were basically these. First of all, we need to be willing to enter the zone of the unknown. And that's not a B-rated movie, as I shared last week. It's you stepping out of your circles of comfort. A lot of us, we have our normal everyday routines that we go through, and God may be calling you to deeper waters. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the story of Jesus calling the first disciples, some fishermen who ended up catching nothing one day. And Jesus said, hey, why don't you go back out again? And at first they were like, we've been doing this all night. We're tired. But then again, it's you that's telling us to do that, so we'll try it. So they went out to deeper waters. If you know the story, they put their nets out in the right side of the boat, and they caught such large numbers of fish that their nets began to break. So many fish that they called their partners, and both boats became so full. We need to be willing to take a risk, to take a simple walk across an office. A simple walk across our yard, a walk across a soccer field, and reach out a hand in friendship, reach out a hand in kindness, reach out a hand in care and meeting somebody else's need, and let God take the rest. We need to enter the zones of the unknown. Number two, we need to be willing to listen to the Spirit's promptings. We cannot do anything in and of ourselves, but God wants to use us. And he wants to empower us by his Holy Spirit that will live inside us. As believers, as children of God, God does not just sit removed from us. Jesus came to this earth to live and set an example for us, to die on a cross, to forgive us of our sins. But when he left this earth, he turned to his followers and said, the Holy Spirit will now come. My Father will send a helper, a counselor, a comforter, someone who will lead you in times of need. And as we learn to depend on the Holy Spirit and follow those feelings that we get that God gives us, God will lead us one step at a time. I read you a passage of scripture from Psalm 119 that says we need to, encouraging us to be in God's word. God's word serves as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And as we learn to follow God and the Spirit's promptings, he will not lead us astray, and he will lead us to see amazing things happen. And the third point last week was we just need to walk. We just need to start doing what God has called us to do. You don't have to go to seminary first. You don't have to enter some, you know, evangelism 101 class. Just start. Just start sharing the love that God has put in you. and let God take care of the rest. Now, there are some practical things that can help, yes. And we want to give you more. We want to give you some ideas today. But they're going to be much more simpler than you might even realize. And my hope is that, first of all, we would simply be willing people to say, yeah, God, we know how much you love us. We want to be used to share that news with others. So today, we're going to look at a couple things. First of all, we're going to look at the example of Christ himself. And then we're going to look at how that challenges us and how we can put some of the actions that Christ took into practice in our own life. So if you have your handout this morning, there are some notes there for you. You're going to see 3 D's as points today. We'll get into those in a minute. But before we go there, I want you to turn to John chapter 1. We're going to start there this morning. John chapter 1. This past week, as Austin shared, was a very encouraging week. I was rewriting my message with every talk that I was hearing. There was so much good truth that was poured out that really is all about our message that God has been laying on my heart to share with you. And so I want us to take a different course. You didn't know that this was different. I should have just, you wouldn't have known. So we're going to go as planned, and we're going to look at John chapter 1. In a few minutes, we're going to look at Luke 19. So if you want to find Luke while I'm talking to you about John, you can put a place marker there. Luke 19, we're going to go there as well this morning. John chapter 1 is a special chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters because it summarizes so much of who God is, of what his purpose is, his desire for our world, and then our part in that. And I'm going to hope that you catch that today. It starts at a very high level, a very deep theological point. The very first verse of John chapter 1 is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Actually, that's Genesis what? 1:1. I was just testing you. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're going to break that down here in just a minute. I fed you a verse a minute ago, Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 is the very first verse that I ever memorized. My dad came home one year once we moved to Colorado, and he brought home this little plastic loaf of bread. Any of you guys ever remember these plastic loaves of bread with the little slit and these little verses in them? Anybody ever seen those? Am I that old? Okay, a few of you have seen those. So my dad came home with this loaf of bread, and on the side it said, my daily bread. And what my dad encouraged us to do, I was about 6 years old, as he said, what we're going to do is each week, if you and your brother, at the time my sisters weren't born yet, if you and your brother can memorize a verse a week, we'll take you every Friday down to the local, I think it was called Wilco or something. Yeah, anyway. So the local drugstore in Colorado Springs, and you'll get to pick out any candy bar you want. Yes, I was so excited. And so the very first verse I ever memorized was Genesis 1:1. It's not up there. Can anybody say it? All right, that's good. You wrote it down while I said it a minute ago, didn't you? Yeah, okay. So anyways, that was the very first verse I memorized. Later in life, this became my favorite book. I don't know if it's because, you know, we share the same name or what, but in a few verses, you're going to see it talking about me. So anyways, this became my favorite book. And for many reasons, it starts here, that from the beginning of time, from the beginning of all that is, there was the Word. And you can see that word there is capitalized. In our English translation, we do capitalize words that refer to God or Lord or Jesus. And so here, the question is, why would the word be capitalized? Well, if you keep reading, you see that this is not just words, but this is a special word. The Greek word here is logos, L-O-G-O-S, logos. And the Word was with God. But more than that, the Word was God. The Word is God. God is the Word. And if we jump a few verses, you see in verse 6, no, excuse me. Actually, I don't want to jump yet. Let's go to verse 2. He was with God in the beginning. So let's put, can we put 1 and 2 together? Is that possible? Or, okay, go to 1 and just, I'll keep reading. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Do you see what's happening there grammatically? We're not just talking about some inanimate object. We're talking about a living, breathing entity being called the Word, the Logos being called God, and God being called He. He was with God in the beginning. It goes on to verse 3 and says this, though through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. How many of you are confused? Okay. So basically, in the very beginning, Logos is, if you were to define Logos, and I'm gonna destroy the whole definition, but it boils down to this. Logos is all that is truth, all that is thought, all that is idea and truth. And so in the beginning, truth existed. All that can be known that is true existed in the beginning. And it existed with God and was God. God was the Word. God is the Word. God is truth. Jesus Christ, I'm skipping. I don't want to confuse you too much. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God because the Word was God. He was in the beginning. Through Him, God, all things were made. Without Him, God, nothing was made that has been made. In Genesis 1:1, the word for God there is Elohim. Elohim is a plural form of the word God. If we were to go back and strip the Bible, or actually take it back to the original language, Hebrew or Greek, we would see these words, and sometimes the word for God is Elohim, sometimes it's Yahweh, and there are different names for God, illustrating or helping us understand the different aspects and attributes of God. Here, we're seeing that God, Elohim, is plural. Now, let me point something straight. There is only one God. We don't believe, like some religions, that there are many gods. But God, somehow, the Lord God being one, is also three. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It goes on in Genesis and says, let us make man in our image. God is speaking these words. And here we see the first picture of what we call the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's Genesis. In John, it's revisited. Through Him, all things were made. We're going back to the creation story, to the very beginning. God was in the beginning, and God has made everything that has been made. I'll try and help you understand a little bit more as we go. Verse 4. In Him was life, and that life was the what? Light of men. In God is life. Apart from Him, there is no life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but verse 5, the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Then enters my favorite verse. There came a man whose name, who was sent from God, and his name was what? That's me. All right, so you don't think I'm a heretic. Of course, that's not me. But anyway, he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him, through who? No. That through him, John, all men might believe. Did I say that right? He came. John came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him, the light, not John, Jesus, all men might believe. He himself was not the light. This is John. John was not the light. He came bearing witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. My favorite passage is probably one of the most confusing passages in all of Scripture. He was in the world. Who are we talking about now? Now we're talking about Jesus. How did Jesus enter the picture? Has Jesus' name been said yet? We've heard about the Word. We've heard about God. We've heard about the light. We've heard about a being that created everything. And we heard about this guy named John. Where's Jesus yet? He was always there. Who said that? Ashley, very good. He was. Where do we get this from? Let's keep going. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, not John, but Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Here we go. Here comes Jesus. You ready? The Word became what? Flesh. And made his dwelling among us. Anybody out there have the Message version of the Bible with them? I love that version. It says basically this: the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. That's what Jesus is all about. Are you giving me the 5-minute signal already? Oh, thank you. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's powerful, because that is what has happened now here at Hope Hill Church. We have moved into the neighborhood. It is God's plan for us now to be his vessels moving into neighborhoods around the world. For what reason? To shed the light, to testify to the light. We are all now like that man John back then, here not to direct people to ourselves. We are not here to build up Hope Hill Church. We are here to point people to who? Jesus. And that is what this series is all about. Letting people know that from the beginning there was a God who is all truth, but not only all truth, but all love, and not only all love, but all joy. And this God came to the earth. He moved into our neighborhood. He made his dwelling among us. And we are now called to be like this man, John, to testify about that light, that Word. And how do we do this? We need to learn to do it. I didn't write these titles, so don't laugh at the cheesiness. But we need to do it in 3D. All right? So the title of our message today is Living in 3D. First of all, if you don't understand who God is, I may have just confused the heck out of you, and I am sorry for that. What is important is that you know that there is a God who loves you, and that is not some distant, removed God like Bette Midler sang. Was it Bette Midler? From a distance? God is watching us. Yes, no. Are you tracking with me? God is here. He is present. He is not some removed God like many of our forefathers believed, that God kind of wound up the earth and then walked away and is letting it unfold over time. God is here. He knows everything about you. He loves you. He knows every struggle you're going with. He wants to walk through every storm you go through. God loves you. And the crazy thing is that he knew you before you were born. Before the foundation of the world, he knew you would be sitting here today. And he loves you. And he is pursuing you with everything he has. That's what you need to know to start. And this is the message that John in the scriptures here was telling people. For 400 years, the Jewish people, the chosen people of God, were living in silence, not hearing from God. And all of a sudden, this guy, John, who happened to be the cousin of Jesus, although I'm sure he didn't know it, because later, when it's revealed, he's kind of like freaking out. I can imagine John and Jesus playing as cousins growing up in the sandbox, and all of a sudden, you know, John's over here trying to build the sandcastle, and Jesus all of a sudden just goes, and it's done. John, I'm sure, had something he knew that was different about that cousin of his. And here he's telling people, not knowing that it's exactly Jesus yet, he's walking through, and if you read, we don't have time to read through it, you read about John, and John kind of got a little wacky. He moved out into the woods, he started just wearing, you know, certain out-of-style clothing and eating crickets and grasshoppers and locusts, and people started gathering to hear what was going on because there was something compelling. One verse that was shared with us this week was that, if you look at it, it never hit me like this, that all the people of the area and all of Judah, I mean, that's a ton of people, came to hear him. And he was telling people, repent, get your lives right, come and be baptized so that when the Son of Man comes, when the Messiah comes, you'll be ready. And tons of people were flocking and listening to this man. At any time, he could have become a rock star. He had so many people following him. But he knew that where his power came from. He knew what his message was. It wasn't about he himself. It was about he who was to come, his cousin, Jesus. And John's purpose was to point people to Jesus. A couple of people who were following John, that John was so compelling and so many people wanted to follow him that it said that there were many people who followed him that considered themselves disciples of his. And a couple of disciples at one time were like talking to John and they were like, who is that guy down there? And at this time, John knew that that was the Son of God. And John wasn't afraid to lose a couple people to go. He actually was trying to get people to go and follow Jesus. That's what we need to be about. We need to be about pointing people to Jesus. We need to learn what it means to live in 3D. Jesus came. He moved into the neighborhood. And he came and he took on flesh to live for us, to die for us. I want you to watch this video as we learn what it means to live in 3D. It's going to be much simpler than you realize. Bill Hybels is going to share with us a way that he got to know one of his friends. And I'm not going to tell you the end. You'll have to go to community group this week to get the end, but here's a teaser.
I saw something so valuable inside Dave. And I remember just saying to myself, this is going to be a long, slow walk. He's got to see a Christian kind of walk the walk. I never put a time span on it. I just said, this is a guy I'd like to be friends with and let God do whatever God's going to do. I really wanted to make sure that it was God doing the work and me riding in the second position.
Before Regatta, I was preparing my little area on the sailboat, and Bill would come up and just ask me how my week had gone, how Beth was, maybe what had gone on at work. I mean, the conversations never really moved towards faith or Christianity. And it was just so refreshing to me that he was concerned about me as an individual and what was going on in my life.
I think really trying to point someone in the direction of faith is usually the summation of a lot of little inputs along the way. I don't think it's the big 3-hour talk where you start with creation and at the end of the Bible. I don't think it's a great big theological brain dump all at once.
I remember Bill giving me a copy of Case for Christ before it was ever even in print. And so in my travels around the country, on airplanes, I would pull that out and read a few pages. And I really needed that because I was so inquisitive about the science part of it.
You'll have to catch the end later, and I hope you check out a community group to see what happens. What was demonstrated there, what Bill said that stuck out to me, and the point he's trying to make, is it came in short, simple steps. And we need to learn that in the circles that God puts us, that's really all it's about, is just taking those short, simple steps. being willing to take a risk to reach out to get to know someone. I know that for many of us growing up, we were always encouraged to just have certain friends. I went to one church for a season of time where we were actually encouraged to almost stay out of the world, to only join Christian sports teams or Christian leagues, to only go to Christian schools so that we wouldn't be corrupted and tainted by those who didn't know Christ. But I have to tell you that I think this is exactly the opposite of what God wants for us, his people. One thing that I promise that Hope Hill will never do is create our own sports leagues. Because I believe that God wants us to be on teams where non-Christians are so that we can show them how to play sports the way that Christ would want us to play, to build relationships with our team members so that they can come to know the God that lives in us, so that we can be playing basketball games with grown men who lose their temper and cuss you out on the basketball court just because they get bumped by you. I share that story because it was a number of years ago that somebody wondered when I was on staff at First Baptist Church, they wondered how long till First Baptist built their first gym so they could leave their men's league because they kept having to hear foul language. The statement that was shared by one of our elders was, have you got to know them? Have you befriended them? Do they know about the love of Jesus? That's what it's about. It's about us not pulling away from the world, but stepping into the world. Jesus crossed the cosmos. We can cross a room. Jesus came to us, and he calls us and sends us to be a part, to be in the world. Where is light needed? Light is needed in the darkness. It would be ridiculous for me to pull out a flashlight right now in here it's kind of dark, so that illustration doesn't really work, but flashlights aren't needed in lit rooms. And we need to see that God needs us to go into dark places. We need to learn, the first D is how to develop relationships. We need to learn how to develop friendships. Not just relationships where we have a business situation going on, but to the point of really befriended someone. A friend is someone who helps in times of need. Is there somebody in your life who you know who's hurting, but you really don't know them? Maybe God wants you to know them. Maybe God has put you in their life so that you can reach out during a time of need, so that you can help them walk one step closer to Christ. I remember being the age 9 years old, and I think I shared with you last week that when I was young, about the age of 6, I came to know Christ, and we were involved in a church. We were involved in Sunday school every Sunday, Awanas every Wednesday, Sunday night church, prayer meeting on Tuesdays, visitation on Thursdays. We totally got involved. And I got to the point about the age of 9 where I met my first person who didn't go to church, at least that I realized. I was riding bikes with a friend named Nikki. And I turned to him and said, hey, we were building this ramp out in the field. And I said, I've got to go. It's late. We've got church tonight. And he said, you go to church? And I said, yeah. We go to this program called Awanas. And it's kind of like Cub Scouts, but we get to run around in a circle all night long. And do you guys know Awanas? There was literally like a big circle, awesome games. Anyway, I went to the Awana Olympics twice, by the way. So anyway, I got excited about this program, candy bars. If you memorize 3 verses on Wednesdays, you got a candy bar. I love candy bars. So I got to know this friend, Nikki. We did all kinds of things. We rode our bikes together. We spent time together. And all of a sudden, this one day, he's asking me about God, about church, which led naturally to me asking, you don't go to church? And he was like, no. I was like, well, you want to come with me to Awanas? And he was, sure, maybe. Let's. And so we rode the bike to his house. And on the way, on the bike ride, I'm talking to Nikki, and I'm like, so really, you don't know about Jesus? You don't know about God? And he's like, no. And we're just riding. I was like, well, hey, before we do anything, you want to ask Jesus in your heart? And he was like, sure. So right there, sitting on our bikes, I led my first friend to Christ. But we just have to take those simple steps and ask those simple questions. And yes, as nine-year-olds, the world wasn't as complicated as it can get for us adults. But Jesus said, unless our faith becomes like that of little children, we won't enter the kingdom of God. I remember later that same year, having my heart broken. Two friends of mine who were twins, Kevin and Carl Clay. This morning, I have to tell you that I went on Facebook to stalk them. I do that for everyone, by the way. I went to Kevin and Carl Clay's page, and I'll tell you what I saw in a minute. But the first thing I did was I was at school, and I can't remember the way it came up, but I remember Kevin and Carl all of a sudden just said, like it was just another academic truth, there's no God. I remember my heart just like breaking there as a fourth grader hearing that somebody actually thought there was no God. I remember throughout, we spent the next, I think, 6 years together before my family moved, always wondering if Kevin or Carl, how they arrived at that belief. Kevin and Carl, today, are on Facebook, and I found them. My hope and prayer is that somehow, some way, I was not necessarily, that I know of, used to spread any seed in their lives. But I remember being heartbroken that there would be somebody out there who wouldn't believe in God. Now, I went to Kevin's page, and I went to his About Me section where we can list our political views and our religious beliefs, you know, that section. And Kevin's was blank. I found Carl's, and Carl says agnostic. I think this week I'm going to try to write Kevin and Carl just to take a step to see what might happen. I found Nick. I haven't seen Nick since about 10 years old, and I found a Nick. His name is, I won't tell you his name. I don't want you finding him. But I'm going to work on Nick as well, and if the person I found is the right Nick, my heart's really broken. So I'm going to reach out to Nick. And I really hope it is the same Nick. But I'll let you know. God wants us to take that first step, to develop friendships, to develop relationships. He's put us here for this reason. If God just simply wants us to be a part of his family, then why not, as soon as we are saved, boom, go to heaven? We might as well all drink the Kool-Aid today. There's a reason why God wants us on this earth. And it's not just for you to know God, but for you to help others to get to know him. And for you to be used to take his love to others. My hope and prayer is that Nikki, Kevin, and Carl, some people I had as friends in my life, can still possibly come to know who God is. I believe Nikki. I hope that the Nikki I met then is the same Nikki now, but he's struggling. And I hope God can use me now to bring that circle back 30-something years later. Luke 19, I want us to look real quick to see what happens with Jesus. Luke 19. So in Luke 19, at this phase in Jesus' life, is he's now 30 plus years old. He's now out and about. He's sharing the truth of his loving Father. He's sharing the truth of the gospel. He's witnessing to people. And a lot of religious people are getting very upset with this Jesus guy, because Jesus is developing relationships with the wrong people. Jesus is hanging out with outcasts, with prostitutes, with tax collectors. Jesus is not just hanging out with them, but he's going into their homes. He's sharing meals with them. He's developing friendships. chapter 19 of Luke, Jesus entered Jericho, and he was as he was passing through, a man was there. His name was Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Back then, tax collectors were evil. Not sure days have changed, but back then they were definitely not good. They had betrayed their own people. The Romans had convinced some Jewish people to take taxes from their own people, pay them to the Roman government, and take their own cut off the top. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Zacchaeus, wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So everybody heard this guy, Jesus, was coming. The crowds lined the streets, and this short man could not see over the tall people. Anybody here relate to that? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just joking. So he ran ahead, and he climbed up a sycamore tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up, and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." The musical. "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. This was a tax collector. This was a people despised and rejected by the masses. They couldn't believe that Jesus, this so-called prophet, this so-called Messiah, could he really be? How could he be if he's going to a home of a tax collector? Jesus crossed the room and entered this man's house. He befriended this man. We need to make friends. We need to leave our simple circles of comfort, our normal paths we take, and we need to reach out to those who may seem unreachable. The next thing we need to do, the second D, is we need to discover stories. Jesus went to this man's house, and I'm sure much more conversation happened than what we see written here. But over the course of Jesus' time with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus ends up sharing his life story with him. And what we need to do in our relationships is not just enter into relationships for our own benefit, but to discover other people's stories. Take time to listen to them. Find out what their struggles are. Find out what their passions are, their hobbies, and join them in what they enjoy doing so that you can build a bridge to their heart. Discover their story. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today." So he came down, welcomed him gladly. Verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He is gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times that amount." Jesus spent time with this tax collector, this sinner, and he got to enter into his life, his story. And God calls us to do the same thing. Enter their lives. Get to know their story. And then the third D, discern next steps. Jesus met Zacchaeus. He went to his home. He spent time with him. Zacchaeus ended up opening up his life and repenting of his sins, or at least declaring that he would. And Jesus in verse 9 said this, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost." God has us here for a reason. He has us here to share our love, his love, with those around us and those who may even seem unreachable. Are there some people in your life that you think are completely unreachable? God may think differently. I want us to turn back to John chapter 1 as we wrap up our talk for today. John chapter 1, the latter half. I want you to go ahead and verse 40 and pause there for a minute. Jesus arrives on the scene. He moves into the neighborhood. He is God. He was God. He made everything. He came and arrived on the scene, and even those who he made did not recognize him. But yet, it says, for those who will choose to believe in him, he will give the right to become the children of God. This man, John, is now declaring, get your life right. This Messiah has come. Follow him. I've baptized you for repentance, but he will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. You will be used by him. And John continues to point people to Jesus. Some of the disciples that were followers of John, one guy's name was Andrew. Andrew, this should be your favorite chapter too, Andrew. Is he in the room? He stepped out for a minute. I'll fill him in later. Verse 40, Andrew, Simon's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said about this guy, Jesus. And he started following him. And the first thing he did was he went to tell Simon, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. How many of you, you don't need to raise your hands, but how many of you remember the day that you came to know the Lord? How many of you know that moment when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? When you came to know that you were forgiven? When you came to know that he died in your place to take your place and mine to forgive you of your sins? How many of you remember that day? I remember that day like it was yesterday. I was 6 years old. I don't remember exactly the teacher's name, but I remember her face sharing with me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember that day just thinking, yes, I love Jesus. I was baptized that day, old-fashioned Baptist style. Saved, baptized, boom, boom. I remember that day. I'm still trying to reach Miss Green and Mrs. McPherson, by the way. The ones who told me they thought one day I'd be a pastor at the age of 6. I remember that day, and I remember going from that day feeling like, I love you, Jesus, but other people have to know this. I remember running home. I was 6 years old. My brother was 21 months younger. He had not yet turned 5. And I remember he being the first person I was trying to evangelize. I remember sharing it with my brother, and all he cared about was Grape Ape on the TV. You remember Grape Ape? Does the love of Jesus that's in you ignite a passion in you for others? The first thing Andrew did was go and tell his brother Simon, I have found the Messiah. Has it ignited that passion in you? The first thing he did was he left what he had discovered for himself, and he ran and he found his brother Simon, and he told them, I have found the Messiah. In verse 42, the next thing he did was he did not just simply say, I have found him, but he took Simon and he brought him to Jesus. There are Simons in your life that are waiting for you to bring them to Jesus. And it starts with us simply taking a step and building a friendship, working on building that relationship, getting to know them, sharing life struggles with them, introducing, finding the Spirit's promptings to pour into their life and to share those moments that are appropriate. Hey, let me pray for you. At the right time, you bring them to Jesus. Andrew brought. Do you think Andrew had any clue what Simon was going to become? Peter. I mean, that's pretty deep to think about. The next Billy Graham, for those of you who know Billy Graham, may not yet know Christ. And it may be simply just waiting for you to reach out to that person. God invites us to live 3D lives, to develop friendships, to discover people's stories, to discern next steps, and help lead people one step at a time to know Jesus, the man who lived and loved and died for each of us. And my hope is that we would become a people not just concerned about gathering together to have our own needs met and read our own Bible stories and do our own Bible studies, but be out there taking people, bringing people to Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I'm so excited for the potential. We have so many people around us, God, that simply just don't know the fullness of your love. And I pray, God, that we, a people in this room, would become ignited with a passion, with a Holy Spirit fire that burns in us, that helps us to go out into this world to shine as your lights, to help bring people to you. And I pray, God, how do I say this, Jesus? I know that our goal is not to build up Hope Hill Church and one day have 500 or 1,000 or 5,000 people. God, our goal is to help people come to know you. God, I pray that as we simply follow your Holy Spirit's promptings, that we would be people that are instruments in your hands, used to share your love, helping people be reached who are far from you. God, and I pray this morning that if there are people in our life that don't yet know you, that you need us to be used to reach out to, that you'd bring them to our mind right now. God, help us to see their face in our mind. God, and I pray that you would help us to begin to pray for them right now, that your Holy Spirit would begin to open their heart, that your Holy Spirit would begin to draw them to know you, that your Holy Spirit would begin to give us eyes that are open, seeing opportunities that we can be used to pour into their life. God, and I pray that you would do only what you can do. God, there are some people in our life that we believe are totally unreachable. But God, through you, all things are possible. And I pray, God, that you would do only what you can do. Break hearts that need to be broken. Tear down walls that are in the way. And help us to realize, God, that we don't need to get our lives right first before we're used by you. Yes, you want our lives right. You want us following you. You want us throwing off sin that entangles us, God. But in the process of us drawing close to you, God, you want us to reach out to others and pull them along for the journey. And I pray that you'd help us to do that, to just walk across rooms. I pray for Nikki Odo right now. I pray that you would reach him wherever he is. God, that you would help him in whatever it is he's struggling with. And God, I pray for Kevin and Carl Clay. God, that somehow they would have their eyes open to know you. God, I pray for those in this room who may not have ever opened up their heart to you in this way. That even right now, God, they would know that you are there, that you love them. That even if our lives are a mess, that they would sit there and say, okay, God, I'm a mess, but as Nathan said earlier, I'll come to you a mess. And Jesus, I pray that you would help them just to open up their lives right now and say to you, Jesus, come into my life. Take me just as I am. Forgive me of my sins. Help me in my struggles and help me to follow you. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Help me to now live for you. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would just move and invade our lives now. God, I just pray for each and every person in this room that you would help us all to see what our next step is in leading others to know you. As we begin our response time, I want to ask that you continue just in an attitude of prayer, thinking about those who God has put in your life, who he wants to use you to reach. I also want to ask you to do this. There's an index card in your handout this morning. And I want you on one side to write down the names of those people that God has revealed to you, of people that you believe he may want you to reach. I want you to write their name, even if it's a first name, even if it's an initial, or if you don't know their name, the guy who sits next to me on the bus. Whatever it is, write something down. Whoever it is that God is laying on your heart right now, find that piece of paper, write it down. And then on the other side, I want you to remember the day that somebody led you to the Lord. And what I want you to do is I want you to remember the simple steps that they took to help lead you there. It may have been that they gave you a pumpkin pie at your doorstep. It may have been that they helped you out in a time of crisis. It may have been the simple step they took was sharing the gospel with you, and you prayed that day to receive it. I want you on that backside. I want on the backside of that postcard, that note card, I want you to write whatever that simple step is that somebody took to reach you. Said a prayer, helped me in a time of need, whatever step they took to help lead you to Christ, I want you to write that down. And then today, what I want you to do is you feel ready and prepared to come and receive communion. Because this is what it's all about. Christ dying for us in our place. His body broken for us. His blood shed for us to pay for our sins. And Jesus said, from here on out, whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, remember that I died for you and that I'm now here to live for you through your life. And I want you to bring that card up today. And I want you to simply lay it at the cross. And I'm going to take those cards this week. And I'm going to pray over every single name that is written down, every single person that is written down. I'm going to pray over them that God will enable you to reach them. And I'm also going to celebrate with you in the things that have been done to help lead you to Christ. So write those things down and leave those at the foot of the cross today. Come and respond. If you have not given your heart to Christ, do it today. We have prayer teams in the back ready to pray with you. I will be up here at the front ready to pray with you. Let us let God in to take us and now to use us. Respond as you feel led.